It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
For today's lesson, we're going to look at the disciple John. He's the author of the book of 1 John, which is what we're currently going through right now. I want to spend some time just looking at who he was and as he authored this book, where he was in the stage of life whenever he wrote this. He's an interesting character in the Bible, and I think he's one that we can all really learn a lot from as far as who he was when he first started out when Jesus called him to be a disciple and to who he ended up being whenever he was writing this book, the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. So he wrote all of those later in life, and I think it's interesting to see how he started out and how he finished. So that's why I want to take some time today and spend with you and just look at who this man really was. So I've entitled today's lesson, John, a Son of Thunder. And the reason I say that with a question mark is because that's not how we normally think of John. We normally think of him as very meek and mild and just very quiet and submissive and the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that is true, but he didn't start out that way. He started out like a lot of us, which I think is very encouraging. So we can look at this together and see how someone that Jesus called could be used for great evangelism and to spread the gospel and share the truth and love later on. So I think this will be really helpful for all of us as we look at who John really was. He, of course, was one of the 12 disciples. He was one of the inner three. Him, Peter, James, and John were in that kind of inner circle where we hear more about them in scripture than any of the other disciples. When the book of 1 John was written, he was pretty much later in life. It was towards the end of his life. It was written between 80 and 90 AD, and he died around 98 AD. So at the point that he's writing the book, we get to see a very tempered John. At that point, he has balanced his, natural character of wanting to be very bold and brash, and he's tempered that with speaking the truth in love. So let's back up and see who this Son of Thunder was and why he was called that. In Mark 3:17, that's where we see that James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John were called the Son of Thunder. That's the only place in scripture that it's really mentioned of this phrase, Son of Thunder, but we see several things in the Bible that show us why he maybe got this name at the beginning of his ministry with Jesus. So let's take a look at some of those. Before I do that, just some things to know about John. He was very black and white. He was very dogmatic, very much wanted things to be definitively able to be seen as far as the truth and what it meant. And there's nothing vague with John. He was a fiery proclaimer of the truth. He would go against the norm of what was going on in that culture and in that society. Things were getting very rampant during the time of 1 John with the Gnosticism, as we mentioned last week. And he did not just go with the flow and go with the norm as what everyone else was doing. He stood apart and he said, you know, basically, this is who is a Christian, this is who is not. Not by name, but by giving the characteristics of what a Christian life looks like. So I think there's a lot to learn here from John and how he explains the characteristics of a Christian, because he came from a background of being very bold and brash and not tempering all of that with speaking the truth in love. So let's look at some of that. In Luke 9:54, just to give a little context here, this is when Jesus and the disciples, they were traveling through Samaria on the way to Jerusalem. They kind of ran into some trouble there. And so John, basically him and James wanted to accomplish something through this. So let me read that. It says, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. So the Lord is lovingly rebuking them there because they were kind of getting a little out of line, kind of getting a little too big for their britches, I guess, and just getting very zealous to want to call down this fire from from heaven in order to relieve the situation. And so, you know, we see that zealousness there and kind of that impulsive reaction. So I think there's also some more passages here that I want to look at. It's Mark 9:33. This is a very interesting context here, because what's just happened is they have, James, John, Peter had just seen the transfiguration happen. And so, I mean, what an amazing thing to witness. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. And I'm sure there would have been that, that moment where you might want to think, oh, I've been so privy to this experience, I must be just so much better than everybody else. And that's what goes on here. So listen to this, Mark 9:33. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he, being Jesus, called the 12 and said to them, If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. So again, Jesus has to lovingly rebuke them. They were trying to figure out, who was the greatest? Who out of the three of them, you know, who was it? Rather than realizing Jesus is the greatest. It's Jesus. It's not about me. It's about him. So it's been really interesting to see how Jesus hears this. You know, he doesn't react in haste, but he stops and gives them a good parallel and an analogy, basically saying, if you want to be first, you got to be last. So let's look at another example here. Mark 9. This is going to be 38, just directly after this passage. So you would have thought, you know, that John would have kind of got it after having that experience and the one before with the fire from heaven. But this is where we have John's words actually recorded in Scripture, one of the only places here. And it says, John said to him, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. So here John was basically almost a little annoyed that this guy was doing this, because he wasn't one of the inner circle. And so the guy that was casting out these, you know, demons and things like that, it says that he was a true believer of Jesus, apparently. And so, you know, John and the others opposed him because he was not openly and officially allied with Jesus as they were. So just because this guy wasn't in the inner circle, they weren't going to have it. They weren't wanting this man to be doing the things that they were able to do. So there's a really good reminder in that for all of us to think about, is there anything that we're a little prejudiced about, or that might not be something that we want someone to be doing because we don't think they're equipped? But if they're a true believer of Christ and they're a fellow Christian, they are equipped. And so they were kind of missing that message there. And again, Jesus lovingly rebukes them. So that's just some really good examples to see who John was early on in the ministry of Jesus and kind of how he started out. You know, he was very similar to John the Baptist in his ability to want to proclaim truth and wanting to be very kind of highly emotional in his responses as he would respond to these different situations. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a voice for Christ, you know, to share the gospel and to make sure that it's getting out there and being taught accurately. We want to do that. But we get to look through 1 John and see how John does that and how he is able to speak the truth in love. He's come to a place in his life when he writes this book that he really, truly has seen that example of Jesus and has wanted to mirror that and mimic that. And I think that's such a critical lesson for all of us. We should look at how Christ was and want to mirror our reactions to those of how Christ would have done it. So it's encouraging that we see John do that towards the end when he writes all of these wonderful books in the Bible that we can learn from. So, you know, I just encourage you today to think about how maybe you started out when you first came to Christ and how you are now. It's a process of sanctification, and we're not going to be perfect and we're not going to always get everything right, but it's how we're going about it. How are we speaking the truth? Are we speaking it in love? Or are we speaking it in just a dogmatic approach where people can't actually hear what we're saying for the way that we're saying it? It's really critical that we learn that fine balance of speaking the truth in love so that others can actually hear the words of the gospel and the words of scripture of what it says truth really is, and so that they're not just seeing us and our loud personality trying to just get out there and be a bold voice for Christ. There is a balance, and I pray that we all learn that as we go through studying this book in 1 John. So that's what I would challenge you with today. Think about your character. Think about, is that being more modified to be like Christ as I'm growing in holiness and in my walk with the Lord? So I'm going to leave that with you. And if you want to look through these notes, they're going to be under the Bible Study tab, Lesson 2, John, a Son of Thunder.